I would say a general analysis here. Policing in your 20s and policing in your 40s are two different, complete wild. You might be dealing with the same people doing the same things at the same station, at the same cars and everything. But when you introduce a family and children into that environment of what you're living, it is two different complete things. You know, one of them I see is like overtime, right? Like when you're 24 years old, it's like, and you got no wife or kids, it's like, oh, overtime, I'll work all week, every week. You know, I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
And then now it's, you know, it's like, well, so-and-so's got hockey practice at 9. We got to get to Bible school by, 7. And we got dinner at it's like, you are now a juggling act. That's the best way to describe it. And that's the balance, right? You got to learn, what is that balance?
This is Corey Jones with the Be Ready with Safety Man podcast. Join us every week for a new podcast. Follow us everywhere podcasts are played and on YouTube. Be Ready with Safety Man. This is Corey Jones.
All right. Take it away, sir. Take it away.
What do you got? Hey, man. Hoagie, welcome. It's a Safety Man podcast. I'm Corey at Safety Man CO on all social media channels. And today we got a really good topic. I'll let Hoagie introduce it. Welcome. Thank you. Are we going to share the good news, or are we going to make them wait till the end of the episode? You always make them wait till the end of the episode to share, right?
Yeah. You got to wait till the end. Of course. Okay. You got to hook them in now.
Yeah. Set the hooks now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so some potential good news we'll share with you in a little bit. So today, we are talking about a very important topic, a very difficult topic, and it's not one that people might think. It's not one that, might first jump in the mind, but it's definitely there, and that is work-life-family balance, which is something that they don't teach you in the academy. It's something that you have to learn on your own. And there's a lot of things out there to help you, but it's definitely something that they cannot prepare you for. They can prepare you to do a million car stops and, shoot a million rounds, but coming home to another person in your house or other kids and things, these are life lessons that are not prepared in the police academy for the most part. So,
yeah. And I'll tell you, supervisors too, this is a really good one for supervisors to pay attention to, because when I first became a supervisor, I didn't even have a family. I didn't even have a significant other. And the obligations that my subordinates had just didn't, I don't want to say they didn't matter. It's just, I had never experienced them. So I just took for granted that if I called them and said, hey, I need you to come in for overtime, or I need you to stay late to do this, that it was an automatic. But, as my life has changed and, I'm now married and have kids, I realized that those other priorities are important, and they should be the most important. As a good supervisor, we need to make sure that we take that into account when we're supervising, leading, mentoring.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, listen, and I've said it a bunch of times, police, I mean, everyone's marital situation is different, but I would say a general analysis here. Policing in your 20s and policing in your 40s are two different, complete wild. You might be dealing with the same people doing the same things at the same station, at the same cars and everything. But when you introduce a family and children into that environment of what you're living, it is two different, complete things. One of them I see is like overtime, right? Like when you're 24 years old, it's like, and you got no wife or kids, it's like, oh, overtime, I'll work all week, every week, I don't care,
Yeah.
And then now it's, it's like, well, so-and-so's got hockey practice at 9. We got to get to Bible school by, 7. And we got dinner at it's like, you are now a juggling act. That's the best way to describe it. And that's the balance, right? You got to learn, what is that balance?
Right. And it's like you're alluding to, it's different for everyone, So if you're new in the law enforcement career, this is definitely a discussion that you want to have when you start to realize that a relationship that you're involved in with a potential significant other is moving in that direction. Like one of the first things when I started researching this topic was setting clear expectations for both parties, right? Clear expectations for both parties. It's, if I say I'm going to be home at this time, you better be home at that time. If you say you're going to, take off this day for this event, and, unless the president has to land his airplane on Route 130, we got to shut down traffic, I expect you to actually fulfill that obligation. And I think that'll be helpful in building both credibility notwithstanding the obvious benefits of you keeping your word and being there for your family.
Yeah, and that's it's tough times too, because, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're work, especially if you're working like a 12-hour shift and you're done, let's say, at 7 p.m. at night, and you tell your significant other at 5:30, like, yeah, I'll be home at 7:30. We'll eat a late dinner together. And your husband or wife, you know, let's say they prepare the food or they go pick it up or they, you know, whatever they're doing to get it together. And then all of a sudden, 6:45, that hot call comes in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so, like, it's hard sometimes for people to understand that, like, after the second, third, fourth time in the last 2 weeks, it's like, I just went out, got all this dinner ready, we just paid all this money, and I'm ready to eat, and, you know, being hangry is a real thing, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Get some Snickers bars, or is it Snickers for the hangry? Yeah, turn into Joe Pesci. Nobody wants to come home to Joe Pesci.
Yeah, but no, that's a real situation. And you know, trying to find spouses that understand that dynamic, it's tough. It really is, because it's hard for people to comprehend that. Because, you know, most people work a 9-to-5 and they're done every day at 5 o'clock on their dot. And a lot of places, they're like, the bosses shut doors at 5, like, get out.
Yeah.
Like, you have to leave. The bank hours are this time, like, get out. You know, where our job, it's like, well, I still got paperwork to do and I'm not back for another 2 days. And so I got to get it done tonight because I don't feel like dealing with two more phone calls over the next 2 days while I didn't get it done on my days off. So that's the balance, and trying to understand that of coming home at a reasonable time sometimes is very hard.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very tough. It really is. And that's the stuff, like I said, you can't really, you can understand it, but you don't really understand it until you actually gone through it.
Right. So that's why I'll fall back on the first one. I think is the most important, is having that communication, right? Earlier on, you know, when you realize, you know, that's not first date conversation, you know, what's your last name? Oh, and just by the way, I work overtime a lot, you know, not then, but when you realize things are starting to progress along, and, you know, when the toothbrush shows up, you know, then you might want to have that conversation. Say, hey, just so you know, I've been, you know, work is starting to get busy. We're down an officer. Overtime is starting to pick up. You know, now's a good time. I'm junior. I may be getting forced to work things. I may not always be volunteering for these things. So having those clear communications about how it works and what the expectations are, and setting a positive tone for that. And then reading the response of your potential significant other. If it's something that it's not going to work, just like any other discussion you would have about sharing finances and in-laws and children and school and religion and politics and all that, this is an important one also.
Yeah, I mean, like, some personal things that work, I'm going to throw out some tips that have helped me at least along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, we actually just did it tonight. We planned out, we have a calendar, like a marker board calendar hung up right in our kitchen. And we sit down for about 20 minutes and we write down like everything going on that we know of for the month.
Yeah. Yeah.
That helps a lot. Like, first thing on there, my work schedule, right? Her events going on, the kids' events going on. Put them all in there, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Then we know, like, oh, there's overtime. Oh, wait, I can't because we have a hockey practice at this time on that day and I'm taking them. So that's not going to work. You know, so now I have it laid out. So now I know, like, hey, well, there's nothing on that Thursday. Something popped up. I can do it. And now I'm not stepping on anyone's toes or you know, kind of messing anyone else's schedule as well. I mean, me personally, I'm at the point now where I love planned overtime, right? Like, I love to be able to plan it out. Like, in 2 weeks, they're going to have this, this, and this. Like, I sign up for that stuff. I love that stuff.
Right.
But the stuff where they're like, hey, we need you in 12 minutes. I'm like, I can't do it. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I'm not even in the county, you know? Or if I am, I just can't. You know,
I got a hockey stick in my hand. My kids practice. You know, it's like, like you said, unless the president's landing in 2 minutes, those are the things that have definitely changed for me a lot.
Yeah. And I'll echo what you said, because my wife and I, we do the exact same thing. Although the calendar and the refrigerator wouldn't work for us, because I got about the memory of a butterfly. You know, I think I'm going straight, then I'm going right, then I'm going left. So we're everything is through the phone. So we share a calendar, so I can see her work schedule, she can see my work schedule. So we know where each other's are going to be. And then we plan an event together, whether it be a date night or going out with another couple or anything. the kids' schedules, whatever they events that they have, all that's on there. So I even have it hooked to my work calendar. So people want to schedule a class with me, a public speaking event or a keynote event that I'm doing, the calendar won't even let them schedule it if I already have something on it. You know, with these apps that are out there, they're so smart, they can merge. So you set yourself up for success. You know, you can do that. You know, sergeant calls you, the boss calls you, says you want overtime, you hit the phone, and in 3 seconds, you can have an effective answer of whether you're able to take that or not.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, too, that's tough, too, is like, you know, me, like I said, me in my 40s now, you know, and I think it's tough, too, because I feel like I was always a super dependable person when it came to covering those shifts, and now it's harder and harder. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I hope that they don't resent me for that. I hope you have people that understand me. But like you said, now, you know, you having a perspective before kids and after kids, different story, you know. And but when other people in the department take off or they need sick time for this or family matters, you know, I'm like completely understanding. I'm like, okay, you know, OK, I get it. Like, you don't have to tell me a story. Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. What's good.
Going on? You got to take her to the hospital. You got to take him to the practice. You got to take. I get it. You don't got to tell me anything. That's fine. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
it is what it is.
So to follow on, you just alluded to the fact that, you know, you like me, I was that guy. I lived in town. I was single. I was so dependable. I remember the boss would call me in a panic because he forgot to schedule the DARE car to go somewhere. Say, Corey, I need you to take the DARE car to Burlington County College. Would be, you know, I'm going way back in time calling the Burlington County College, right? People watching this now, like RCBC now, right?
Yeah.
And I lived in town. I was 10 minutes away from the station. I'll be there in 20 minutes, boss. I got you. Right? I can't do that now. So the thing is, the same way we would have that conversation with our significant other, we can have that same conversation with our supervisor and say, hey, look, I know for the first 10, 15, 20 years of my career, I was able at a drop of a hat to fill these positions, handle this assignment, take on this overtime. But now I have other obligations and, you know, we're going to have to groom somebody else to be able to do these things that are ancillary tasks or overtime or coming in earlier on days off. So the conversation on both ways, I think, is beneficial.
Yeah, for sure. A couple other things with work-life balance. I've kind of talked about this stuff with night shift a little bit, but I will rehash it here. You know, if you are working night shift, the balance of sleep is obviously a huge one, and having your own sleeping quarters, if possible, even if it's a, you know, an area that you can have a futon set up, you know, having your time, helps a lot with the balance of stuff, for sure. You know, and I'm not going to go too deep in that cause we have talked about that before, but it plays a part. I mean, you know, sleep, you know, plays a huge part in your day to day, and having two different sleep schedules of that balance is definitely an issue as well.
Yeah. And the sleep will affect. Lack of sleep or poor sleep will affect you negatively on both work and home life, right? Because you know, you're not going to be effective at work, potentially dangerous at work, potentially unpleasant. That could lead to IAs or, you know, ineffective police work, unprofessional police work. And then you're going to be potentially cranky and ineffective at home. And you may not get an internal affairs complaint at home, but you certainly don't want an unhappy, as we call it, off-duty supervisor, right? You know, I'm blessed. I have my wife is so great. She's so very understanding with my sleep schedule, you know, so she makes the room dark and quiet. I have a noise machine and, you know, she keeps, has always, her entire relationship has always ensured that, because I suffer from sleep problems, you know, I have insomnia and circadian rhythm interruption. So any sleep I can get is important. And again, it all comes down to that selection process, you know. I don't want to cheapen, make it seem like I'm cheapening a relationship, but you wouldn't just go to a car dealership and say, I want the blue one. You're going to drive it. You're going to sit in it. You're going to look at the sticker. You're going to have a conversation with that car, so to speak, to make sure it's a fit, not just exciting and fun now, but in 3 years when you're still making payments on it, is it going to still be an effective mode of transportation and something that you're going to enjoy? And that all comes from doing that recon, that communication.
And I'm going to throw out another idea here, a balance out of just I'm going to throw out things that just work for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone else. My fiance, future wife, this year, she, you know, I laid out everything from day one, you know, from day one, I laid out everything I do, everything I got going on, everything with the kids. Like there's no like hiding everything. Like I just laid it out, laid my cards on the table. That's my poker term right there. Laid the cards out, explained everything. And, you know, I made it clear to the point where I said, you know, I'm not always going to have time to do everything, but I want to make sure that we have like at least a date night every single week, you know? Mm-hmm. So we kind of make sure that we schedule something every week, you know, even with just watching a movie, watching a TV show, going to dinner, something small, but every week I try to stick to that. And I would say 95% of the time, we're pretty good on that. You know, sometimes emergencies or overtime or things pop up last second. But I think if you kind of stick to a schedule and say, this is going to be our night, this is going to be it. You know, I think one, it gives you something to look forward to.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Right. And two, you know, it's something that you can both commit to for the most part. But again, it depends on where you're at in your department, too. If you're, like you said, if you're low man on the totem pole, you're probably, you know, that's a little bit different situation. It's tough until you get some people underneath you and rise up a little bit where you get to the point where you can be like, nah, I can't work tonight. Like I'm not going to.
Right.
And so trying to create those date nights that you can actually stick to are huge. You know, I think that helps a lot.
Yeah. And that comes, you know, I hate to overuse the term boundaries, but you know, it comes with setting good boundaries. So when I did some more research on this, some of the things that maybe I didn't do or could have done better was creating clear boundaries. You know, this is sacred time that between us, we're doing this, like, you know, anniversaries, birthdays, certain things are just inescapable. You know, if we have to push off, if I'm going to miss a sporting event, if I'm going to miss, we can discuss that. You know, but if it's something that's really, really important, we've been waiting two weeks, 2 months for whatever it is, we paid money for it. I don't want to disappoint, just like I wouldn't want to be disappointed if it were to happen the other way around. So those boundaries are good where there's a no-go zone, right? You know, we can keep going back to that analogy. If the president needs to land his helicopter and I got to go set up an LZ, okay, we got to go do that.
Yeah, and then same thing goes kind of for my kids. Like, I make sure that we schedule, like, something of meaning, you know, every month. We either go somewhere, we go to an event. We just went to, like, the horror convention recently, had a lot of fun with that. You know, like, so, like, when I'm there, I'm, like, in there. You know, like, we're doing something. We're going out as a family. You know, we're out at dinner. The phones are down. You know, like, we are, like, the time that I'm actually there, I'm trying to make it as engaging as possible.
Yeah.
You know, so make a balanced tip is like make the time actually count. If you have limited time, make it count like really in depth to the point where it means something.
Yeah. And you're engaging with them in something that you enjoy too. So it's not like you're sitting there because people aren't stupid. People can tell when you're just standing, you're just here for them as opposed to you're here for us. Right. Yeah. And you know, I know that's something that you're really into too, the horror convention and the horror shows and all those things. So you're going to be excited. So it's naturally going to get them excited too. You know what I mean? And they're really enjoying that. So that's a great, great point that time management, like you said, also is when you're there, you're making the best use of that time because it may only be once every 2 weeks that you actually get to have all of you all in the same place at the same time doing something fun. So you're going to make it worth it. That's the day we can, you know, diet doesn't matter. You want cheeseburgers and hot dogs, cheeseburgers and hot dogs and milkshakes. It is, you know?
Yeah. I have drawn a little bit of a line though, because my fiance wants to go to Taylor Swift and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going there. That's more of you take your friends. I think that's where my lines draw. We're not.
That's your boundary.
Me and 30,000 screaming women it might sound good, but no, I don't think so. No, we're
you didn't see enough of her. She didn't see enough of her during the football season.
And
she still wants to go.
The $500 to $1,000 price of tickets for like the worst seats in the house is also a very, you know, something deterring me from even setting foot there as well. Yeah. You know,
funny story. We went to go see Halsey, a performer that my wife and I kind of discovered together. We went to go see Imagine Dragons, one of our first dates, and Halsey opened for Imagine Dragons. We really loved the music, and it was cool because it was something that we found together, right?
Yeah.
So then Halsey is playing at Madison Square Garden, and she sells out Madison Square Garden. So we go to go see her, and it was 13,000, how many people that hold screaming little girls? And it's funny to hear my wife tell the stories. He's Corey, me, probably the oldest people in the building, except for the woman taking tickets, and these 13,000 screaming little girls. But then it was such a good event because we found another band, Oh Wonder, that opened for Halsey. So then we got to go see Oh Wonder at the Stone Pony, right?
Okay.
And Oh Wonder, it's a good venue, except for there's no seats. So as long as you don't mind standing up, it's a good venue. And an Oh Wonder song is a song we had our first dance to at our wedding. So, spending that quality time and doing those different things, it just created an avalanche of good memories.
Yeah. Something that's been tough for me is now that my kids are getting a little bit older and I know I'm getting out of the game pretty soon, is that you end up missing a lot of stuff, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the things that hit me recently, and I don't mind sharing it, was like my youngest son, he plays hockey as well. Both my kids play hockey. And he, like the first season, he didn't score any goals. You know what I mean? And I was volunteering, helping coach and stuff. And then, of course, like the one night I'm working that I missed the game, of course, I get the phone call like, oh, my God, he just scored two goals. Not only did he score one goal, his first goal, he scored two in the first night. And that kind of hurt me. It was like, man, like, you know, it was another reason why I was like, man, and it sounds maybe stupid, but it was like, I really want to retire early because I'm tired. I don't want to keep missing these things, you know?
Just think of it this way. You weren't there coaching and he scored. So maybe just saying, they fired a quarterback when he first time, but eventually the coach has to go.
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, like even things like that, like being a dad that wants to do coaching and not even just like for my kids, but like I volunteer hockey coach. It's like, I told the league, I'm like, look, I can't commit to every game. You need a head coach. I can help out once in a while, but I can't commit, and that's one of the hard things in police work too, is like, if you're on shift schedule, trying to commit to like normal activities of like, even like bar leagues, right? Like bowling leagues with your buddies and darts and like just fun activities. That's a different kind of balance. That's not the family balance. That's the friend balance.
Right.
That's hard too. And that's not really talked about as much because it kind of falls off a little bit once you get the family and kids, but having those friends and be able to like commit some time to them and like, do some stuff. That's difficult too. That's difficult.
Yeah. The good thing is most of your friends you probably grew up with or know you, and the emotional tie is going to be different than it is with a significant other and kids. And if my friends get that butt hurt, I'm like, go pound sand, dude. Like, what do you want me to do? I got to work. I got to make it. This is a lot of money that I can make if I work this 4-hour overtime DWI shift, hook a brother up, man. Let me go make some money and make the streets safer for the rest of us. Like my core group of friends I've known for 30 years. So, they know. It's all good to go. And again, what have we been saying all night is having that communication. We let them know right off the bat when they make the plans. Say, hey, just so you know, every third one is going to be a struggle for me. So we can't count on me because it's going to fall on that Wednesday where I'm going to be working or it's going to be changeover week or whatever it is. Those lines of communication. One of the ones that I always wanted to had a hard time doing was learning to say no. So if you remember what I said earlier, that I was always yes, 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 yes. And you alluded to it also. Sometimes now you have to say no and we feel guilty because we sign up for a career that, you put your life on the line every day you go out there. So on the inside, it's kind of like, I owe that. I need to be there for my town, for the other officers that I'm working with and for the innocent individuals that I can protect. And, we all think nobody can do it better, right? I can do it the best. I have to be there for that person, but that's not true. The other officers that we work with can also do an effective job. So it's okay to say no. I mean, you just have to get to that.
I mean, it is, but I work a lot less overtime than I had done in the past, a lot less. And I still feel that every time I say no, I still feel like I feel bad. I do. I just like I call it the Kafka School Guilt or something. I don't know. Like I feel bad. I do. And it's, like again, in my early 20s, scooped up every shift I could. And then, but you have to learn to say no. You have to learn to say no because, missing your kid's game or missing that date night, like you know, 10 years from now, like the people in your department, you might talk to them here and there, but you're going to be living with the other people still, you know,
yes.
Yeah. Every day. So you need to make sure those relationships are solid because they're going to be there to the day you die. You know,
exactly. And
you need to make sure your home life is solid. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, you have to say no, and family time is more valuable than overtime. It really
that's a really good way of saying it. You know, maybe we should actually recoin the phrase instead of calling it work-life balance, which seems like it gives work the priority. Let's call it life-work balance or home-work balance. You know, give the priority to that home or to your personal life if it's just you. Still, like having healthy habits that you can look forward to, even if it's just you. If you're single, going making sure that you're hitting the gym 3, 4, 5 days a week or whatever it is, or something else that's not work related that just keeps your mind. The last thing you're thinking of is that blue uniform, that domestic, and those red lights on top of that car. That you're actually looking forward to going to the gym, going surfing, going playing darts, whatever it is. Something that's different, like you alluded to, bowling leagues or whatever it is. That you know you're having good activities, healthy activities, meeting people that aren't on the job, so you can actually talk about and have normal work relations outside of work relationships.
That is one that I think from day one I've kind of stuck to, and that goes across all boundaries. A single, married, definitely have some kind of hobby, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's 1 hour a week, 30 minutes a week, like, you know, some kind of hobby that just takes you out of family, work, anything. You know, it just kind of takes you out of your element and something that you enjoy doing. It could just be the gym. That's fine. It could be, like you said, a league or something like that. Obviously, everyone knows me. Mine is poker. That's a different story. Yeah. But like, you got to have that one thing that is yours, you know, that you enjoy, that you look forward to. Maybe you make some trips around it or you plan some events around it or whatnot. But you have to make something out of the police realm, you know, because if that's all you know and that's all you do, at some point it's going to crack. Like you need some kind of outside, you know, something to just put your ego in check sometimes, you know, like a different perspective, right? Again, because if you're all in that echo chamber of just hanging out with all cops, doing nothing but cop stuff with all, like, that's all you understand. That's all you think. And then you step out and you see other perspectives and you're like, I never really thought of it that way because I only see this way, right? Having a hobby that's outside of the box or doing something that's a little bit different around different people, it helps. It does. It helps you give perspective on different things and you learn more things and you know, get out of that echo chamber, really, you know?
Yeah, that is an echo chamber. It's kind of like a confirmation bias, right? It's us 100%. Against them. It's that thin blue line and all those things. Thin blue line is a great concept, and obviously it's gotten some bad press in the past couple of years, but yeah, we do need to have each other's backs, but we also need to have our families' backs first, right? We need to have our families' backs first. Another one I think is important is, you know, I don't know how it is at your place, but when I was there, you know, if you would have got caught, you know, on one of these things in the police car, that was not good, right? Everything's on body camera, right? And you can't be playing on social media. So when do you do it? When you get home? Well, maybe you should wait to before you dive into that little 2x5 box of a cell phone is spend time with the family, you know, listen to their day. Don't come home. This is another one. I'm sorry. I bled into two at the same time, right? Don't come home and unload on the dead body about the dead body you found and the kid that this happened to and that happened to. They don't need to hear that. You know, you pick and choose the traumatic stories that you share. Because it's proven with resiliency training that it hurts, it hurts and burns us enough to have to deal with it, and we're trained to deal with it. And, you know, we definitely don't want to burden our family with those stories.
You know, I've heard different perspectives on it, but I'm the same way you are. Like, you know, I don't need to just come out and unload stuff. Like, yeah, maybe once in a while I'll have to talk about something or having trouble at work with something, but you know, some of the crappy horror stuff I see, it's like I don't need to push that on anyone, you know?
No.
And it's funny because people always ask you, like, they're like, you get like people that are outside the police world, and they're always asking, like, what's the craziest thing you ever saw? And I'm like, I don't even know where to begin on that. You know, like, I don't know where to begin.
Where do you want to go crazy? Like, the most screwed up thing or the most thing that makes you do that laugh? Like, I could tell you stories that will have you crack up. No way somebody did that. Or, oh my God, you had to deal with that? And I can go in any direction that they want and I'll have a story for it. But, you know, and yeah, sometimes it's great to be at a party and you have everybody standing around, you listen to you tell war stories about this guy you locked up and this person you had to chase and this person, you know, whatever, and you had your gun out, and all those things are really cool. But you got to keep them in balance, you know, you got to keep them in balance. Because if you make this job your life, when you retire, a lot of cops that retire will say, dude, they die in 5 years, they die in 6 years, because they don't, their adrenaline is not getting, they're not getting that dopamine hit. They're not getting that, they don't feel like they're worth anything. When I retired, people asked me, what do you miss? And I said, and for the first couple of months, it was like, I don't know. Then what I realized I missed was, and this is going to sound wrong, so don't take it the wrong way, but I say I miss feeling important. Because when I was working, I was a supervisor. I was in charge of the entire town. Police, fire, EMS, you know, the patrol sergeant of Mount Laurel is the shift commander. And I was in charge of the whole town until we could delegate it to somebody else or somebody else got there. And even though it was stressful, even though, you know, you're worried about people getting hurt or making a wrong decision or, you know, the lawsuit is going to potentially come after it, that's why I signed up for it, you know. And maybe it was adrenaline, maybe it was dopamine. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But after it was all over, you know, fortunately, I handled most of those big time calls relatively well. You know, some minor mistakes here and there with some paperwork and documentation that wasn't my strong suit. But, you know, you can't wrap your whole life up into this job, because there is that it should only take up what 40% of your day, right? Should be work, and not, you don't work 7 days a week. So it should be 30% of the entire week is your job. And you got another 70% that's family, personal time, sleeping, and whatever else you're doing.
Yeah. And I think that's hard. You know, that's hard for some people too, is like they get sucked into that realm of like, that's all they know. This is all they know, day in, day out. And that's great until it's not, right? Like, you know, like you said, all of a sudden you walked out the door and it's like, oh crap, you know, like, and some people have it, you know, I mean, you chose to retire. That was still different, you know, but some people have it worse than that and they get stuck in bad spots and now they have to deal with, this is all I know. So yeah, getting outside perspective, creating an outside network, different hobbies, that definitely helps, you know, with those situations, I feel like, for sure. Yeah.
And we could rabbit trail into a whole bunch of different things, but I'll finish with one last one.
Okay.
I know you probably have some more, but self-care, right?
Yeah,
prioritizing really good, healthy, beneficial self-care. Don't medicate yourself. Don't alcohol yourself. Don't, you know, do all those types of things. You know, yeah, it's fine to go out and have a couple of beers here and there, but if your first thing is going to the pharmacy or going to something else to try and take away your or stunt the effects of the trauma that you're dealing with, that's wrong, because all that's doing is pushing it down, right? As you know, I'm a master resiliency instructor, and that's one of the things that they tell us, is find a trusted person that you can speak with who's had some law enforcement training and experience, whether it be the chaplain, whether it be your resiliency officer from your agency, the cop-to-cop lines, whatever, just to get stuff off you. It doesn't mean that you don't wait till you're sitting on the edge of a bridge, right? Or that you're looking at your pistol. We don't have to wait until then. You know, we both know that I lost a good friend and a coworker who took her life right after I retired. And that, you know, that kind of hit me hard, because, you know, I look at myself as her supervisor and her friend thinking, was there something I could have done or said, you know? So making sure that we encourage ourselves, our coworkers, our subordinates, that I know you probably can't come to the sergeant with this problem. I know you probably can't come to the lieutenant with this problem, but there are resources who, unless you're in immediate danger to yourself or others, you can talk to about anything, right? You can talk to about anything, or as long as you're not committing a crime. Just check and make sure you know who you're talking to and what their disclosure policies are, so you can unload to the right person and make that a habit. Not a habit, but make that something that you're okay doing early in your career, so when something serious happens, you already have a trusted person. You're not trying to build a relationship, you know, an hour after some traumatic event. You already have a relationship on a first name basis, texting basis. You know, our chaplain from my police department, we became so close when my wife and I got married. He actually came to our home and performed our wedding ceremony for us.
Oh, wow.
You know, guy, because, you know, I helped start the chaplaincy program in our agency. And he actually, you know, I asked him, I said, would you come in, you know, marry us? And he said, nothing would give me greater pleasure, Corey, than to come and marry you and your wife. That, so that, you know, those things are really, really good.
It's funny because I was just thinking about this stuff today, like kind of thinking about the topic tonight. And I saw a funny TikTok on it. And it was like a humorous one, but it's like 100% true. This girl's like, she's kind of talking to herself in the TikTok, but she's like sitting at the counter. She's like, man, I felt like such crap lately or like whatever. It's just been so bad. And then she's like, it's like pretending someone else is asking her. She's like, have you gone to the gym lately? She's like, no. She's like, have you gotten good sleep lately? No. Have you been eating good lately? No. Have you gone outside and seen any sun lately? No. It's like, it was kind of comedic, but it's like true. It's like, yeah. You got to do these things. You know, you got to check all these boxes because we're all going to have bad days. We're all going to have good days, right? We're all going to have some here and some there. But by doing all those other things, your good days become that much better and your bad days become a little less worse, right? Like you kind of.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's just maybe a little bit, but it makes a huge difference, you know, that balance. Of like, make sure you're getting to the gym. Make sure you're eating right. And we've talked about a lot of that stuff, but those are also balances that affect not only single people, but married people as well. You need all those healthy lifestyles. So I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, that's definitely good. You know, I'm kind of cheating a little bit because my wife is a functional health coach, and a lot of the things that she deals with is talking to her clients about trauma in their life or other difficulties. It's not just, I eat potato chips every day. If that would, that's an easy fix. Or why are you eating potato chips every day? Well, I like them. Okay, well, what else do you like? Pretzels. Yeah. All right. Well, let's look a little deeper. Let's examine this a little bit further. And then those same things that you just pointed out is what she starts to uncover. So, all right, we'll go for a 10-minute walk 3 times a week. Not a heavy lift, right? You know, go outside and get some sun first thing in the morning. You know, it's like all those things that I hear her saying, I'm like, this is stuff I wish somebody would have told me 30 years ago, you know? I mean, obviously, I always went to the gym, always had fun, always had friends outside of work, but there was specific self-care things and that's the part that I neglected because no one told me. I never knew that was an issue. Never knew it was something I needed to do. It was always tamp it down. Just keep it down, you know? You go see something trouble at work, don't cry, rookie. You better not get upset. You throwing up because you saw that, you know, it was worse. It's better now, from what I understand. It's better now. Like, we understand that we can't treat other professionals that way. You know, breaking wagons a little bit, toughen them up. You got to be tough. I mean, we're going to see some stuff. People are going to get in our face. People are going to challenge us. We do have to be able to take being called names. You know, I mean, there's not a name you can think of that haven't been called. And I got to the point where I just told myself, well, that's never going to bother me. You're never going to get me to come out of my professional self. And that gave me great pride, which was really a good coping mechanism for me at work. I told myself, I said, Corey, you will never let anybody say anything that's going to make you come out of your professional face, your professional self, you know? And that gave me pride. So that was really a good resiliency thing that just happened on its own. It wasn't like I was set out to do that. It's just, I just refuse to let myself make the mistakes that I saw other cops doing on TV, you know, good cops acting bad on TV or bad cops acting bad.
So I figure we wrap up there. I will end with somewhat of a good news. It's not 100% yet, right? But we did get recognized as, we got invited to the YouTube partnership for our channel. So first off, thank you to everyone that's watched us and the people that have supported Corey and his business. I know I'm just kind of hanging out here as a co-host, but I enjoy doing this every month. I love talking to Corey, just kind of gets some things off my chest, lets me think a little bit more about police work as well. So I appreciate everyone here that's, you know, watched us, liked, subscribed, and commented. And hopefully some people at home have gotten some good things out of this. It seems like it from a lot of the feedback we've gotten. We got an invite for partnership. So we're going to apply for that and hopefully we get approved. And, you know, we'll see where it takes us from there. But, you know, cool little step in the this whole process, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it takes time. You alluded to this earlier. You know, make it a little less worse and a little bit better. We're not going to fix it on Monday if the problem took 15 years to create, but you can fix it. A little less worse, a little bit better. A little less worse, a little bit better, and that balance will start to go away. And it's the kind of same way we've been plugging away at this channel, right? Trying to make our presentations a little less worse and a little bit better. right? Yeah. A little less worse and a little bit better. And apparently it's working. So we, again, I'll echo Hoagie there. And we thank you for your support. We just ask that you continue to smash that subscribe button. Share these videos if you found something good. Send us some comments. You know, ask us what you want us to talk about. Ask us to, you know, even something that we did before, we can come back with some new information. Yeah. And our goal is to entertain, educate, and inform.
Yeah. Have a little fun along the way and, you know, take it to the next level. So, all right. Well, that's all I got, man. Thank you. Let them know where they can find you, brother. How can they get a hold of you, sir?
At Safety Man, all one word like Superman, at Safety Man CO on all social media, or safetyman.co is the website. Nice and easy.
Cool, cool. All right, everyone, thank you, and we'll see you on the next one. Stay safe, right?
Stay safe, be ready, and train when? Now.